busier day at the ranch as ever I remember, Friday, December the 27th. Secretary Rusk arrived in the morning. Secretary Freeman, Secretary Ball, Pierre Solinger was already there. George McGee, our ambassador to Germany, and Mac George Bundy. All had their separate briefings and necessities to go into before the Germans came, except perhaps Freeman. I'm sure he had a lot of things that he didn't have to do with the Germans. But 2x2 and 3x3 and in groups they huddled with Lyndon and talked, moved around the ranch, while I was busy getting ready for the 5 busloads of press, totaling around 200. They were going to arrive around 2 o'clock. There were White House press, Texas press, some German press. Then they rolled up in 5 big Greyhound buses. Pierre, who is a mighty good top sergeant, as well as many other things, shoved them all into 3 buses. Dale took the leadoff bus, and I suggested that anyone really wanted to know about the agriculture of the place go with him. I took the second, and Linda, that obliging dear girl, took the third. I looked around on mine and saw a good many familiar faces. Francis Lewin, Usadi, Marianne Means, and I saw quite a few foreign faces. I picked up the little mic and began to tell them about this being where Lennon's grandfather settled before the Civil War. He had 9 children and divided it among them all. How we had bought the place in 1951. The story of the whole thing since then, with, I hope, as many relevant and interesting facts as I could. At any rate, you love talking about what you love, and I love this place. We saw Lyndon sailing around with the top down, concentrating with Secretary Rusk and Freeman, and later on, why didn't you tell me you were going off with a newsman? Well, I thought 5 bus loads, Greyhound buses, were fairly easy to spot, so I hadn't thought it necessary to light him down. Thank heavens it was a glorious sunny day, and we ended at the barbecue grounds, where Jeton had a bonfire going, and a great big table full of barbecue ribs, plenty of hot coffee and some beer. Everybody grabbed some and settled down on bales of hay or under the trees to try to pick up any news that they could from quite an assemblage of gentlemen who had joined us there. Lyndon got off on a bale of hay and talked into the microphone.
Actually degenerated into a sort of an all-around press conference, most casual.
After the press and the people from Washington had melted away, we helicoptered over to the Morsons, and I found myself in a car with Lyndon driving, and Pierre, and 2 or 3 more people. We rode around and we saw a deer outlined against the sky. Deer shot once. The deer stood absolutely still and then slightly lowered its head. He said, "Shall I shoot it again?" He did. It dropped. It never moved a foot. We rode and rode and looked at the sky and the deer leaping the fences and the pastures. And finally, we called in to the mansion and asked if John and Nellie wouldn't helicopter out and join us, which they did. We ended up in the tower, having a drink and looking at the darkness and the little bright eyes that sometimes appear watching you.
I felt like this was my time off. I was really playing hooky and getting away from things. Nellie talked about the home they're building on the ranch, and she told me, with that combination of solicitude and gaiety, that Nellie can manage so well that if we didn't mind, if it wasn't really necessary, she and John were not going to come out to the barbecue on Sunday for Ehart. They were going down and look at the house down at Floresville, and I told them not to dare come.
We all went back to the ranch house, had dinner, sat around the fire, told tales, as Daddy would say, and then all went to bed fairly early.